विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनि नामे नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशकाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 8, titled The Narayana Kavacha Shield, Text 13. Chaleshu mam rakshatu matsya murte yado ghanebhyo varnasya pashat स्थलेषु मायावतु वा मनोव्यात्त्रिविक्रमकेवतु विश्वरूपा जलेषु मां रक्षतु मत्स्यमूर्ते यादो घनेभ्यो वर्णस्य पाशात् स्थलेषु मायावतु वा मनोव्यात् त्रिविक्रमकेवतु विश्वरूपा जलेषु मां रक्षतु मत्स्यमूर्ते यादो घनेभ्यो वर्णस्य पाशात् स्थलेषु मायावतु वा मनोव्यात् त्रिविक्रमकेवतु विश्वरूपा जलेषु इन द वाटर मां मे रक्षतु प्रोटेक्ट मत्स्यमूर्तिः सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इन फॉर्म ऑफ ए ग्रेट फिश यदा गणेभ्यः फ्रॉम फियर्स एक्वाटिक एनिमल्स वर्णस्य द डेमिगॉड नोन एज वर्णा from the arresting rope, staleshu, on the land, mayavatu, the merciful form of the Lord as a dwarf, vamanaha, named Vamanadeva, abhyat, may he protect, trivikramaha, trivikrama, whose three gigantic steps took the three worlds from Bali. Ke, in the sky. Avatu, may the Lord protect. Vishwarubaha, the gigantic form. Translation and purport by Sri Divine Grace is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. May the Lord, who assumes the body of a great fish, protect me in the water from the fierce animals that are associates of the demigod Varuna. By expanding his illusory energy, the Lord assumed the form of the dwarf Vamana. May Vamana protect me on the land. Since the gigantic form of the Lord, Vishwarupa, conquers the three worlds, may he protect me in the sky. This mantra seeks the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the water, land and sky in his incarnations as the fish, Vamadeva and di Vishva Rupa. Read the verse and translation to 14-15 as well. Durge Shabbat Ajim Kadi Shiprabhu Payan Simasura Yuta Pari Vinunchato Yasya Makataha Sam Disho Vinedu Yapatam Shabbat. May Lord Narasimhadeva, who appeared as the enemy of Hiranyakashipu, protect me in all directions. His loud laughing vibrated in all directions and caused the pregnant wives of Asuras to have miscarriages. May the Lord be kind enough to protect me in difficult places like the forest and battlefront. Rakshas asuma vanicham yatna kalpa svadam shraya yo nitadharo varaha ramodri kuteshu katavi prabhase salakshmanovyad bharatakrajosmam. The Supreme Indestructible Lord is ascertained through the performance of ritualistic sacrifices and is therefore known as Yajneshwara. In his incarnation as Lord Bodh, he raised the planet Earth from the water at the bottom of the universe and kept it on his pointed tusks. May that Lord protect me from rogues on the street. May Parashurama protect me on the tops of mountains, and may the elder brother of Bharata, Lord Ramachandra, along with his brother Lakshmana, protect me in foreign countries. There are three Ramas. One Rama is Parashurama, Jamadagnya. Another Rama is Lord Ramachandra, and the third Rama is Lord Balarama. In this verse, the words Ramodri Kuteshu Atar indicate Parashurama. The brother of Bharata Maharaj and Lakshmana is Lord Ramachandra. Text 16. Maukradharna Takila Pramada Narayana Patunarishta Hasa Datstvat Ayoga Atayatnya Atayoga Nata Paya Dunesha Kapila Karma Nanda. May Lord Narayana protect me from unnecessarily following false religious systems and falling from my duties due to madness. May the Lord, in His appearance as Nara, protect me from unnecessary pride. May Lord Dattatreya, the master of all mystic power, protect me from falling while performing bhakti yoga. And may Lord Kapila, the master of all good qualities, protect me from the material bondage of fruitive activities. Text 17. Sanat Kumaro Vatukama Deva Daya Shiramam Pati Deva Helana Deva Shivarya Purusha Char Purusha Charnam Tara Purno Harimam Niraya Ashesha. May Sanat Kumara protect me from lusty desires. As I begin some auspicious activity, may Lord Hayagriva protect me from being an offender by neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. May Devarshi Narada protect me from committing offenses in worshipping the deity, and may Lord Kurma, the tortoise, protect me from falling into the unlimited hellish planets. Purport. Lusty desires are very strong in everyone, and they are the greatest impediment to discharge devotional service. Therefore, those who are very much influenced by lusty desires are advised to take shelter of Sanat Kumara, the great Brahmachari devotee. Narada Muni, who is the guide for Archana, is the author of the Narada Pancharatra, which prescribes the regulative principles for worshipping the deity. Everyone engaged in deity worship, whether at home or in temple, should always seek the mercy of Devarshi Narada in order to avoid the 32 offenses while worshipping the deity. These offenses in deity worship are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. ज्ञातमिदं तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जन शलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्मरपदाम्बिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण गगनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्तराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तत्कताञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पाञ्चालकथरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे The Narayana Kavacha shield is being applied in the process of touching different parts of the body, and that is being described. So touching different parts of the body and applying this mantra is called Nyasa. We have different varieties of praying to the Lord. One form is called as stotra, where it's just like a child calling out to the Lord. For the stotras, there are not much rules and regulations to follow. It's just like a voluntarily child calling out to the mother in a spontaneous way, asking for protection, for help, for safety. For Bhakti Yoga, we ask for increased engagement in service. In contrast to the stotras, the Kavacha mantras, you have a lot of preliminary activities to perform. You have a lot of formalities in terms of chanting the mantra, touching different parts of the body. And one has to be very careful with the pronunciation as well. So if one mispronounces during the Kavacha mantra, it may result in negative or the opposite result of what you are asking for. An example is given as that of Brahmana offering Kavacha mantra to Mother Parvati or Bhargavi. So one mispronunciation where he was asking Mother Bhargavi to protect his wife. So one mispronunciation, instead of protection, it became let Mother Bhargavi protect my wife. Instead of the meaning term, let Mother Bhargavi consume my wife. Means the Brahmana's wives were dying because he was mispronouncing the Kavacha mantras. Later, when he approached his guru, then his guru, in his mantra drishti, he saw and he asked, so you started reciting the mantra, how are you doing this? So then he corrected the pronunciation. So based on that, the defect was fixed. So even while reading this, it's very hard to follow the exact pronunciation. That is why we have the easy process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. We pray to the spiritual master, Param Guru, Pancha Tattva. Then we start chanting. And this process is much easier then following the set of complex procedures, one may not be able to pronounce properly, one may not be able to find the right time, the right person. But still, because you're approaching the Lord in His various forms, He is giving these kind of details as to how you can protect yourself. So even when doing deity worship, when doing different angas of bhakti, here it is said, may Lord Dattatreya, the master of all mystic power, protect me from falling while performing bhakti yoga. So that's why we take to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, that the Shastra recommends various methods, and then the Guru tells this is appropriate for you at this particular point of time in life. So that's why the demigods, they accept the authority of Vishwarupa, and then Vishwarupa is giving them, at this point of time, you want to regain the lost strength and power, so you have to do this procedure. And then he makes Indra sit and go through the procedures. Now, verse 13 talks about protection in water by the great fish, protection on the land by Lord Vamanadeva, protection in the sky by Vishwarupa. So it kind of matches where the incarnation is there. The fish protects you in water. Vamanadeva asked for 3 steps of land, and he later took the form of Trivikrama. Vamana then became Trivikrama, then he. So in the sky, the gigantic form. Interestingly, on the altar we have most of the incarnations. We have Matsya, we have Trivikrama as well. So we can ask for protection from the deity when we have request for specific protection, for specific deficiency that we have, then the Lord reciprocates. Then we continue on in text 14 where Lord Narasimhadeva is approached for protection from enemies, and one of this entire verse is dedicated to Lord Narasimhadeva, and his love laughing and the effect of that is discussed. And his help is sought in difficult places like forest and battlefront, where there is maximum danger in forest and battlefront. There, the protection of Narasimhadeva is sought. We are going to celebrate his appearance in few days. I thought of reciting one of the prayers which Prahlad Maharaj offers, describing the form of Lord Narasimhadeva and how the form of the Lord, as described in this text 14, is causing miscarriages for the pregnant wife of the demons. So such a ferocious form, how is Prahlad Maharaj responding to that form? What is he saying? So in 7.9.15, he sings this particular verse where he describes how he is not affected by the fierce form of the Lord. He's a 5-year-old and he's seeing this ferocious form who has just come out of the pillar, and he has devoured his father. Stambe sabayam namrugam maamsham. To keep the word of Lord Brahma and to protect his devotee, the Lord appeared in the pillar, from the pillar. One could not identify whether he is a human or an animal. Namrugam Namaksham. So here Prahlad Maharaj is being asked to go near Narasimhadev, who is in spear's form just after having killed Hiranyakashipu. And then he is offering this prayer. My Lord, who never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue. Your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. And here the form of the Lord is being described. Ferocious mouth, ferocious tongue, eyes are bright like sun, your eyebrows are frowning, the teeth is sharp and pinching. No one would want to go near such a form. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying that he is not afraid of that. Maybe we should put mats on the wire so people don't step on. So Prahlad Maharaj is describing that he is not afraid. And on top of that, this, the intensity of the description grows further. Narasimhadev is wearing garland. Garland of what? Garland of the intestine of Hiranyakashipu. And his mane is soaked with blood. And his ears are like wedges. So, and then on top of that there is tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distinct places. And he has got hands like thunderbolts. So, Prahlad Maharaj, despite the fearful form of the Lord, he says, I am not afraid. Naham viveni ajitateti bayana karsa jivvatra netra prukutira vashokra tamshtra antra satakshata dekesha rashanku karna nidra dapita diva vivinna kabra. So he is saying, I am not afraid of this particular form, fierce form. But he says he is afraid of getting entangled in the material world. This is a healthy fear to have, of being entangled in the material world. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj is a fully perfected Mahabharata devotee, but he in his prayer is moved, will switch from playing the role of a conditioned soul and saying that he is very afraid of material nature, and in the same prayer later he will say, I am not afraid of your material nature, but I am worried about those who are stuck in this material world. I want to deliver them. So this I thought of sharing. It's like a good meditation for us to have as we are moving towards celebrating Narasimhasadu. Read the purport of 7.9.15. Lord Narasimhadev's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for the non-devotees, but for Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearful appearance was not at all disturbing. The lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not at all afraid of the lion. The water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land, but within the sea, even small fish is unafraid. Prabhupada having given two analogies, lion, cub, water, fish, small fishes living. Then he asked, why are they not afraid? Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. It is said that although great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of the river, the small fish swim opposite the current. Therefore, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the Dushkritis, the devotees worship Him. Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. The devotee always takes pleasure in worshipping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. So that helps us to understand the devotee's mood and how we must approach the Lord for protection. Because the Kavacha mantras are for protection, and then for protection against different circumstances, protection against different elements. You see, on the land, on the water, on the battlefront, on the forest, the different forms of the Lord are being addressed and invoked. So the key principle is helplessly approaching the Lord for protection. So in text 15, the Bodhi incarnation is discussed. As we know, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they were killed by Varahadev and Narasimhadev respectively. So we saw Narasimhadev, then comes Varahadev, where as Jayakantaramba was discussing yesterday, despite hearing the sharp words, accusing and offending words of Hiranyaksha, while the Lord was taking Mother Earth and putting her in a safe place, he was not disturbed by all that. He was doing his duty despite hearing those harsh words. Then later he turns and starts fighting. So here, we can pray to Lord Varahadev when we are stuck in the deep ocean of our own conditioning, our own samskaras, our own anarthas, to ask help from the Lord to lift him up, to lift us up from such deep conditionings which we have, and we are kind of lost. It is said that if you are having a lot of bad habits from the past which is preventing you from progressing, it's good to pray to Lord Varahadev to take you out of those bad habits and place you back in and help you progress in bhakti. Then Prabhupada goes on to explain the three kinds of Ramas, Parasurama, and then Lord Ramachandra, who is described as Bharata Braja, the elder brother of Maharaj Bharata. So this reminded me of the prayer which Hanumanji offers to Lord Ram, where he also uses the Lakshmanam Braja, brother of Lakshmana. And in that prayer, Hanumanji brings out the exalted nature, merciful nature of Lord Rama. So when we meditate, we can meditate on the form of the Lord, on the name of the Lord, and also on the qualities of the Lord. And remembrance can also be on the name of the Lord, form of the Lord, qualities of the Lord, and his pastimes. So this particular prayer in 5.19.7, Hanumanji is praising Lord Ram, and he is making a very strong point that one cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? despite all the material disqualifications and considering himself as very low, not having noble birth, not having physical beauty, Hanuman, he says he cannot speak like a gentleman, but he is known for his eloquent speech, and that's what made Lord Ram identify when Hanumanji disguised himself as a sannyasi and tried to come in front of Lord Ram and Lakshmana. So the way he spoke, Lord Ram said he knows different Vedas, and that's why he's speaking in such an eloquent way. But Hanumanji is here, is putting himself in a humble position and saying that I don't have a noble birth, I don't have physical beauty, I cannot speak like a gentleman, but still, my Lord, you have accepted me as your friend. So this mood is humbly submitting oneself in front of the Lord, Dainya Bodhika, and offering prayers in that mood. Na janmano na mahato na sabhagam na va na buddhir na pratistosha hetu tairyat visishtam apino manakashash chakara sakhye pada lakshmanangraja. So here Lakshmanangraja is used by Lord Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana, and in verse 15 we see Bharatangraja. Text 16 talks about Lord Narayana protecting us from unnecessarily following false religious systems. Then, due to madness, and this is one of the reasons which made Indra offend Brihaspati. The second reason being pride, and that is taken care of by Lord Nara. May the Lord, in his appearance as Nara, protect me from unnecessary pride. So there are external enemies and there are some internal enemies. So internal enemies are this lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness and envy. So to win your opponents, you not only need to have external protection and strength, but also have internal protection and strength. That comes from the Lord and his various incarnations. As I mentioned already, Dattatreya, let him protect us while from falling while performing bhakti yoga. And may Lord Kapila, the master of all good qualities, protect me from the material bondage of fruitive activities. So if you have fruitive mentality and you are performing activities, you want something back from the Lord. And that's not the highest platform. Of course, the Lord does encourage in the Bhagavatam that whether you have desires or no desires, continue to worship me. But as you progress, it is good to give up worshipping the Lord and asking for something material. But that creates bondage and you won't be able to engage your body, mind and senses in pure devotion. Then coming to this verse 17, which talks about the theme of protection. As I said, internal enemies. The next item on the list is lust. May Sanat Kumara protect me from lusty desires. So may Sanat Kumara protect us from lusty desires. Lust is described in the Gita itself as that which burns and never gets satisfied. Dushpurena, analena, cha.
Here, the culture of not only worshipping the Lord, but also taking shelter of the Lord's devotee. So that point is being brought out. Even in the chapter's introduction, we see in the chapter introduction also we see the different avesh incarnations of the Lord and the Sakti avesh incarnations of the Lord are being invoked. Here, in this verse 17, prayers are offered and requests are made to the four Kumaras and Narad Muni as well, who are Sakti avesh incarnations. Narad Muni being the, is empowered with Bhakti Shakti. Kumaras, we know what they are empowered with. Jnana Shakti. So Kumaras are empowered by Jnana Shakti. So they are the Shakti Avesh incarnations. The culture of respecting those who are exemplary in a particular aspect of either devotion or Jnana, and their renunciation and their intense devotion and the attention to details in daily worship, all of that is being brought out here, where you not only pray to the Lord but also take help of the devotees who have excelled and who are exemplary. So that is being brought out. So in the Bhagavad Gita also, first chapter, we see how with signs of victory in that section Prabhupada mentioned about the presence of Lord Hanuman in the flag of Arjuna's chariot. So the culture of, so there Prabhupada explained that Hanuman is the fighting acharya. He has fought on behalf of Lord Ram, and Lord Ram was fighting against Ravana. So now you are fighting against the Kaurava. So you take shelter of such an acharya when you are also fighting. So the culture of taking shelter of devotees is being brought in. So Prabhupada in that lecture, he will say, "Hey Hanumanji, hey Vajranji, kindly help me." So like that, we should ask for help. Again, in Ramayana, we also see when, of course, this is the first time where Lakshmana gets bound by the Nagapasha. Then Garuda is asked to come and to remove. Again, taking shelter of a devotee of the Lord to come and help in tough situation. And here, the one of the biggest enemies of a spiritual seeker is lust. And interestingly, the four Kumaras will have a conversation with Lord Brahma, and they will ask this question about how the sense objects enter the mind and the mind enters the sense objects. And there is always a constant bond between these two. Will they ever get released? Is there an option to break that bond between the material mind and the material senses? So they will pose this question to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma at that time he won't be able to answer the question, because he also gets slightly influenced by the mode of passion because of the nature of his service. But the Lord does not let his devotee down. Therefore, he appears as the Hamsa incarnation, and then he answers that question. Yes, the mind enters, the sense objects enter the mind, and they are in a constant, they are bound together like that. And don't try to have a material solution to this kind of bondage between the material mind and the senses. Don't even start to think that you can ever break the bond. Then what's the solution? You know, the Gita 3rd chapter, so Krishna describes the different levels, how the hierarchy, the senses, dead matter, senses are above the dead matter, then mind is above the senses, intelligence is above the mind, and the soul is highest of all. So this hierarchy tells us that we shouldn't try to fix the bonding between the material mind and the senses just at the level of being situated at the mind and the senses. One has to transfer his attention to thinking about the Lord. That's what Hamsa incarnation will tell, that you cannot break unless you divert your mind to thinking about the Lord. Think about Lord Krishna, naturally your bondage with the material senses gets broken. And you start engaging your mind in the service of the Lord. And that's the only way. And you have to raise above this platform of mind, material mind and senses, and raise to the spiritual platform. That's why the hierarchy is given. Spirit, soul is highest. You raise to that platform and start remembering the Lord, meditating on the Lord, and engaging in the Lord's service. So then you can break. So there are no material solutions for material problems. One has to raise to the spiritual platform to solve this material problem. And Krishna does describe that this enemy of lust, there is no compromise, because in some cases you negotiate, you try to give us a donation, or so sama, bheda, dhana, then dhanda is the punishment. So with lust, Krishna describes there is no negotiation, it just has to be eliminated. You can't encourage and keep, you can't have friendly, you can't have talks. So jahi shatru mahabahu kama rupam durashadam. So it's an enemy to be eradicated, but also he gives the spiritual, the philosophical understanding of the hierarchy, and physiologically also how do you regulate your body so that the enemy of lust does not come. He says regulate your eating and sleeping. So excessive eating, excessive sleeping increases lust. So along with prayers to the Lord and His devotees, and along with philosophical understanding, physiologically also one has to regulate his senses. And for that also the Lord has given directions. Another way of overcoming lust as a spiritual solution is to read the pastime of Krishna and Balarama, especially the pastime of Lord Balarama killing Pralambasura. So Pralambasura will assume the form of another Gopa, and when Lord Balarama and Lord Krishna Balarama and all of the Gopas are playing, the game is that of wrestling and then carrying the person who loses. They have to carry the other party. So Pralambasura will be in Krishna's party and they will lose, and Pralambasura will volunteer to carry Lord Balarama. His idea is to carry Balarama, take him to a remote place, and then thinking that he can kill Balarama. So it is said that as Pralambasura is carrying away Lord Balarama, just to increase the flavor of the pastime, Lord Balarama will act as if he is getting frightened. So it's described, when Lord Balarama, who carries the plough weapon, saw the gigantic body of the demon, so here from the Gopa form the demon is showing his actual form, he moved swiftly in the sky, the demon, with blazing eyes, fiery hair, fiery hair, terrible teeth reaching towards his calling rose, and an amazing effulgence generated from his armlets, crown and earrings. The Lord Balarama, seemed to become little frightened. So purport described that Srila Sanatana Goswami explains Lord Baladeva's so-called fear as follows. Balarama was playfully acting out the role of an ordinary cowherd boy. and to maintain the mood of the pastime, he appeared slightly disturbed by the horrible demoniac body.
Okay, so to end, to get in the mood of the pastime, second reason given is that
this demon has appeared in the form of a cowherd boy, and that too as a friend of Lord Krishna. So how can I kill him? There is some slight hesitation from Lord Balaram. And the third hesitation or slight fear is that now I have been attacked by one demon, there will be other demons who could be attacking Krishna also. So these things are going on in his mind. And later, as you know, Lord Balaram kills Ramasura. So by meditating on pastimes of Krishna and Balaram also, we can overcome the lower nature, and one of them is lust. The other prayer that we sing daily is from Rama Samhita, which also helps us to overcome the influence of Kamadev. So what's that prayer from Rama Samhita which we sing?
Venum Quanantam Aravinda Dalaya Daksham Varhava Tamsam Asitamuta Sundarambam Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shukam. So, the Lord Krishna is the original Cupid, and his beauty can conquer the beauty of Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shukam. Govinda Madhurusham Tamaham Rajasam. So by focusing on the eyebrows of the Lord, meditating on the feet of the Lord, which has got different markings, it destroys the darkness of ignorance. So lust due to bodily consciousness can also be overcome by worshipping the deity form of the Lord. And that's the next theme which comes up is, we're praying to Devarshi Narada to protect us from various offenses we commit during daily worship. And Prabhupada in the Bhagavad talks about how the list is given in the Nectar of Devotion. So offenses are there against the holy name, offenses are there when we're serving Vaishnavas, offenses are there when we are in the Dham, offenses are there when we worship the deity. So offenses takes away the spiritual potency that you get by doing these five potent forms of staying the Dham, serving the devotees, worshipping the deity. So offenses indicate an unfavorable attitude. Offenses also take away that spiritual strength that you've got by performing those potent forms of devotion. So they need to be avoided. So offenses can be done in body, mind and words. And the list is given. But the core principles are that they make you forget Krishna. They may prevent you from doing further service. And this kind of offensive mentality comes in because we forget that the Lord is a person. We think that the deity form is just a stone or a metal, and that's why we need to hear from devotees about the glories of the deity form, where we are more aware of the glories of the deity. And the Nectar of Devotion is described about how the effect of worshipping the deity is so great that one forgets other material attachments. Attachment to matter, attachment to wife, children, home, everything. And Rupa Goswami does it in a poetic way that he describes that do not worship the Lord. Do not worship the Lord, do not go to Keshika, do not see his Trivanga form, do not hear the
playing on the flute, do not go there, do not go there, do not go there. So this is Vyaja Stuti, that is indirectly glorifying. If you do it, what will happen is that you will lose all your interest in matter. You will lose all your relationships, your interest in your family relationships and all of that. So don't go, don't see the form. So that's how Rupa Goswami is indirectly encouraging through this Vyaja Stuti to take the darshan of the Lord, to serve Him. And that's why a lot of angas of bhakti are related to the deity, offering garland, smelling the garland, offering incense, smelling the incense, offering bhoga and tasting prasadam, taking darshan. Like that, there are so many angas related to the worship of the deity. So this helps us to come out of bodily platform, then get attached to the Lord, and always remember Him and not forget Him. So that's why deity worship is there, and it's described the need for deity worship. Because one may say, holy name alone is sufficient, and why do we need deity worship? Prabhupada explains that there's a lot of material contamination and there's a lot of material consciousness, bodily consciousness. In such a consciousness, one has to come out of that. For that, deity worship is very helpful, and it is a very fast method of coming out of such bodily consciousness, taking your attachment away from matter and remembering, always remembering Krishna, not forgetting Him. For that, deity worship helps a lot. Yeah. In that way, your body, mind and words are favorably engaged. So offenses are the unfavorable activities or unfavorable engagements, and they have to be avoided. So to help us understand what are those offenses, what needs to be done and what needs to be avoided, that's where Narada Pancharatrika has given to us, and that's where we have to take shelter of Narada Muni to protect us from committing offenses in the worship of the deity. And that's what Prabhupada explains. Everyone engaged in deity worship, whether at home or in temple, should always seek the mercy of the Devarishi Narada in order to avoid the 32 offenses while worshipping the deity. So when describing the five potent forms, there is archana, and then there is when Rupa Goswami focuses on five potent forms, he gives another term, Sri Mute Angri Sevane Viti, which is having faith and great affection for serving the deity. So archana is deity worship. Then the five potent forms will be described, he adds more qualifiers. Sri Mute Angri Sevane Viti, having faith and great affection for serving the deity. So when looking at the different angas, so the mood of worship of deity also is not asking for anything back, and considering oneself as the servant, where you offer your everything you have in your body, mind and what you are offering to the Lord in as Atma Nivedanam, and as completely surrendering to the Lord in the form of deity through the Saranagati, where you think that the Lord is my protector and maintainer. So when the angas are described, there is a concept of kaintharyam, where you go to the deity and ask, what should I do? Kim karoti? And then do what he says. So that's like the topmost. One may not be at that platform, but if we are aware of that, at some stage we can come to that. Karmatmanam is where you do activities and then you offer the results. Whereas kaintharyam is you go to the Lord and in the mood of the servant you ask for us, you go to the deity and ask, what should I do, how should I serve you, and then accordingly serve. So these are some points I thought of sharing related to addressing lust and worshipping the deities. I'll conclude here and see if there are any questions, comments.
what does Rama represent?
So in the Hare Krishna mantra, what does Rama represent? So Prabhupada explained that it represents Lord Rama, the elder brother of Lakshmana, and Parashurama as well, and Lord Balaram as well.
So which one do we mostly prefer?
Which one do we mostly prefer? As per Prabhupada, they can represent all three, but our preference is towards Lord Rama. Anyway, is that effective? Yeah, 200 pounds for the Lord. Speak loud.
You were saying, my question is for atonement, who should we pray? Is it Narayana or Shruti?
Atonement in worshipping the deity as you committed a mistake, or atonement? Yeah, okay. Yes, good point, which I forgot to mention, is that in the, when describing the Angas of Bhakti, when Prahlad Maharaj says Smaranam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam 7th canto, in that purport, when Archanam is there, Prabhupada writes in the purport about how do you overcome offenses when worshipping the deity, in addition to praying to Narada Muni and all of them. He says, he gives you remedies. One of them is reciting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, you have tried your best, and despite the fact you try to commit some offenses, we were discussing, you're trying to adjust some decorations and then your hand hits one part of the Lord's body and then the deity moves and kind of moves away from his position. So things happen, like you're trying your best to avoid. So then what happens is that one doesn't have to go into the panic saying that I can't worship the deity anymore, I'm offensive. So the remedies are given. One of them is to read a chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Second is to worship Mother Tulasi. And ask for her favor. Yeah. One must read at least, so this is in 7, 5, 23, 24, per quote. Yeah, one read, or one can recite 1000 names of Vishnu. We really chant Hare Krishna, which is equivalent to that. In Skanda Purana, it is said that one who recites prayers to Tulasi or sows a Tulasi seed is also freed from all offenses. And below given solutions, I wasn't very sure. If one worships a Salikram Shila, one can be relieved of offenses. If one worships Lord Vishnu with four hands bearing conch shell, lotus, and a club, one can be relieved of the above offenses. So, by the above, Prabhupada listed all the offenses to the deities and he gives solutions. But I was very curious, in worshipping Shaligram, we may commit offenses. So, I don't know. Maybe next class, Gopanish will be next. So, other atonement is stay in a holy place known as Shaukarava and then bathe in the Ganges. I don't know where that place is, but so Prabhupada gives references. So offenses to the deity, yes, you pray to the, do these kind of atonements. Offenses to the Vaishnavas, you ask forgiveness from the Vaishnava who you offended. Then offenses to the holy Dham, you have to be careful, be repentful of that. Is that answer your question? Yeah. Okay. Pranatraksina Bhagavatam Kijaya Shabbat.